Good to be back with you. I'm Henrik. This is Red Ice TV. We also offer an audio version of this show in the radio section on the website. If you are watching this on YouTube, definitely make sure that you subscribe so that you can help get this number up. We're almost at 111,000 subscribers right now, so you can watch that tick up until next time. Just do a search for Red Ice TV on YouTube. You can subscribe and, of course, also check that little box so that you receive alerts when we have new content up on the website. I'm co-hosting this together with Lana today.
Добрый день. Hello.
So today for you, we have an interview with two Russian journalists who are joining us from Russia. We're going to kind of check in with them and see, talk a bit about the relations between the West and Russia, how they over from the East view things in the West with our crazy liberalism and multiculturalism. It is interesting to actually finally have some Russians on the show, and we'll have a translator joining in as well, by the way, so we'll both get the Russian and the English version of this show here today. So joining us is Daria, and she was actually born in Mongolia, I believe, right on the border to Russia. She's been living, though, in the Russian Federation for some time. She understandably then has a little bit of a different view on the Eurasian partnership thingy. We'll talk more about that later in the interview. Also, Igor is joining in. He has, by the looks of things, a little bit more Western Russian blood. Also want to let you know that we'll share some of our thoughts after the interview. But Lana, maybe you can introduce our guests for us.
Sure. Yeah. Igor Starkov, he's a photographer, a journalist, and an art curator. And Daria Andreeva is also a journalist working with different news outlets, including Russia Today. Igor, Daria, welcome to the program. Well, I wanted to first start by getting a little introduction from the two of you, maybe introducing yourself a little bit. So Igor, Daria, please introduce yourselves.
Привет. Меня зовут Игорь Старков, я фотограф. Ну и с недавних пор, наверное, занимаюсь общественной деятельностью. В частности, последняя из работ, это был открыт первый правый клуб Москвы, евразийский, расположенный в самом центре города, под сводчатыми потолками, очень красиво. Ну и ряд других проектов был у меня, и, в общем, сейчас есть связанные с Донбассом воюющим. В общем, фотографии, которые вам прислали, именно оттуда. Что впереди ждет, никто не знает.
Все?
Да.
Меня зовут Андреева Дарья, я журналист. Я начинала как художник, я много работала с Игорем, мы много путешествовали по России. Игорь фотографировал, я снимала видео, у нас было несколько художественных проектов. Но в 2014 году, когда произошли все известные события, я начала заниматься журналистикой. Сейчас я специализируюсь на международной политике, и особенно мне интересны правые движения, новые правые движения, которые появляются в Европе, в Америке. И я стараюсь устанавливать контакты с ними. Я работаю как продюсер. Можешь так сказать?
Да. Черт,
я работаю продюсером на Russian Today. Также я фрилансер, журналист, работаю с разными изданиями. Веду блог на сайте РСНД. Работы много-много интересного, и много интересного происходит на правой сцене, и нужно за всем следить.
Now, Roman, our translator, can you remember all that?
Yeah, almost. So, basically, Igor is telling that he is a photographer, and currently he's been doing the some stuff. He opened the right movement platform in the very center of Moscow, in a very beautiful place, and also he got a few projects connected with the Donbass that's currently in war stance. Basically, it's four projects connected with photography, but not only. And no one knows what will be next. So about Daria. Daria is a journalist, freelancer, and also she's a producer at Russia Today. So since not a long time ago, she began to be interested in the right movement in international relations, and currently, so she also got published the show in few different sites besides.
All right, thank you. So, first question for you guys. So, what does Russians generally think of the Russian paranoia that's raging throughout America right now, including claims, of course, that Putin has hacked the election? We hear about the Russians every day in American media. What do they think about this, generally?
Well, no one will ever know the truth of what happens, really. Not we, not Daria, not Igor. This myth is like great thing to everyone. First, for both for Democrats, that's like their loss is connected with that. For Trump, that like he didn't affected by Putin, and this is only myth. And for Russian hackers to have their like PR motion. So for Putin and for Russia, this myth is great because it shows how powerful they are.
Sure, yeah.
How big balls they have.
I mean, seriously, every day in U.S. media we hear about the Russians, right? The Russians are doing everything all the time, everywhere.
Well, there's been a number of hearings, right? There's been, I don't know how many now, 4 or 5 congressional hearings.
So, Daria, basically, I agree with Igor. Because all some-minded people understood that it's bullshit, but basically she agreed with Igor that for Russians it's something to be proud of and to show, as Igor said, that Russians have strong balls. Yeah, so basically Russians mostly doesn't care what wrote in American media because we have our own story.
Yeah, of course. Well, for the alt-right, as you know, we're very much tied into the alt-right movement. We were excited thinking that Trump was going to have good relations with Russia, finally. But it appears that he's letting us down. So what are Russians saying about President Trump? Were they hopeful that there was going to be some good union there between Russia and America, finally?
So the American hysteria in Russia is also, like, overestimated a lot because people were American jeans, Montana. The Igor like was eating in KFC today at Colonel Sanders, and people drive American cars, and no one will reject that, and no one will refuse from it.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
Basically, mostly Russians are neutral or positive about Trump. Why is it so? When it was before there was Obama, and many cars in Russia were like with the stickers "Obama is a bastard" because he really was about bastard. And currently, the person came whose logic is understandable and acceptable for Russians. And anyway, we need to live in peace. We need to agree somehow and to talk. So that's the matter, and that's the point. Daria wanted to add that mostly it was media hysteria because there was even a term at here, Russian Trumpism, because many people, especially in media, like was spreading information that first Trump won, he is for us, ooh, hooray, let's celebrate that. And after that, they were like, kind of, oh, he is not so pro-Russian as we expected.
Yeah.
Disappointing for us.
It's in Russian media that Trump is good, Trump is bad, Trump hated Syria, or whatever. In Russia, there is a lot of internal problems, and they needed to be solved. And this is your president, and like it's you who need to live with him, and not us.
Yeah. So let's try to understand the political spectrum or what the political system is in place today in Russia, because many on the let's say even within the Democrat Party, they think that somehow Russians are a right-wing, conservative, almost fascist type of country, while some people, of course, are on the conservative end thinks that Russia is still communist or whatever. We hear contradicting messages all the time. How would our guests here today describe the political system that's in place in Russia, if we can put it on that left-right spectrum?
First, we are totally not fascist because we are the country who won in war against fascism, and it's like prohibited thing here. If to talk about Russia, we are also not communist because communist is like already, it can be said that it's lost. And even the communists who name themselves communists, they aren't communists. Basically, the ideology and the political situation is capitalistic in our country because even communists or orthodox priests are buying something, selling something, acting business and do whatever. But we didn't refuse the best things that came from Soviet Union, like the building of the All Union Exhibition of Achievements of National Economy that is situated in Moscow, because it's great, it shows our power, it shows our like might, and it's really something to be proud of. So we cannot be accused that we are fascist. We can be said that we are communist. But, like, it's current our position. Basically, it's a capitalistic country.
Would you say it's a democracy?
No. So they were discussing today exactly what the Russia is, and like they came to a conclusion that it's empire. It's a term that can be used by any side, right side, communist, liberals, whoever. Because and the accusation about is that it's fascist.
Not liberals.
Yeah, because like an accusation in fascism is came only from the power of its country. That it's just because the cover is mighty.
Yeah.
But we hear about, you know, the gay ban, right? We hear that there's some kind of hyper-conservatism in Russia, maybe very orthodox Christian to American liberals. They think everything is, of course, fascism today. But is there some truth to that, that it's a very conservative country?
So basically, we are not only empire, but also a federation. And the center allows the people in regions to live as they want. Basically, each region lives according to its own traditions and culture. So in Chechnya, like, there is their, like, traditions, and center can't ban them to live according to their traditions. In Tatarstan, there is their tradition. So it's just like that.
Oh, okay, I see, yeah.
Russia is a conservative country, and the first person you will see its street is most probably would be considered right in the Western countries. From the president to the cleaner, everyone would be considered right because of their traditions and because of their conservatism. Even his parents, who are like scientists, they will be considered in the France ultra, ultra right.
That is funny.
Well, they're living at outskirts, and just today, when he was walking back home, he saw two gays like sitting at the square. And one of them was black, and it's okay, but here, it's okay in Moscow, but not in Chechnya. Like, in Chechnya, they were told that they are not right.
Yeah. Right, that's a Muslim area, too. We can get into that later.
Yeah, and big cities are always different. So in Moscow, you probably see, like, transgenders, right? But you don't have, like, special laws for bathrooms for transgenders in Russia like you do in America, right?
У нас нету специальных туалетов для трансгендеров в России, как в Америке. So basically, if to say how Russia is conservative, Russia is conservative like on street level, but not in the legislative era. In the legislative, legislation is could be called pretty liberal. And so it only came from people and from lower level. Like from street level.
Well, because we hear about human rights violations and things like this, right, from outside. In the liberal West, we hear about, oh, my God, there's human rights issues in Russia, and they're being punitive. That's why I refer to this gay law. It turned out that was not true.
It was protecting children.
But exactly, it was about protecting children. It seems that it's just common sense political structures are seen as right-wing from the liberal West's point of view.
The West, in USA, in different countries of Europe, there is like minority groups, if it could be said so, and they are like providing the staff what they want. In Russia, there is majority dictature. So, no, if you want like to show yourself, you go to Moscow or St. Petersburg. The same stuff like this in this anti-gay law that was told. It was only about propaganda of this wave, and there is a lot of such people in big cities like Moscow, and even on TV channel, Igor don't have TV and don't watch it. But if you turn it on, you'll see them everywhere.
Yeah.
Basically, no one reads the laws itself, but everyone reads media and watches media. So, every this situation with gays in Russia. Only propaganda is prohibited, and the same situation is with gays in Chechnya. Everyone reads and uses media, and this stuff is like not as it is in reality.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Of course.
We understand.
Well, Daria, I have to ask you about your swastika. You have to tell us about that, because I'm sure people are looking at that, so tell us about that.
First thing I need to tell is that I was born in Russia, in Buryatia. And Buryatia basically could be considered part of Mongolia. But it happened so that Mongolia is Mongolia and Buryatia is part of Russia. In Mongolia, the one of the main symbols, even the main bank called Hasbank, the symbol is called in Mongolia Hastamga. And it's everywhere in Mongolia. At the car seats, at the square street signs, everywhere. Even on the main, Genghis Khan statue at the square, at his boots, there is this symbol.
Now, it's a sun symbol, right? Solmushka.
This is very attractive symbol, really. It's solar symbol, and it's important not only for Mongolia, but for whole Eurasia. And not long time ago, she decided to wear it. That's how it was. They were choosing the gift for the birthday, for her birthday, and they went into the shop, jewelry shop, where they were buying the wedding rings, and they saw it laying on the, just on the, in front of their eyes, and they decided to buy it, and she decided to wear it, to clean it, because in the middle of 20th century, it was dirty, this symbol, though it's very attractive and very important.
And we talked about this before the show, but the Kolovrat, which I'm wearing here, is an old Ukrainian symbol, European symbol. Yeah, you can find it around Europe, so old symbol.
When she started to wear this symbol, first, they were bad looks, and there is bad looks, but just look at her face, no one can say that she's fascist. If you talk about Igor, she can't, and she don't want to wear this symbol, because why he need it?
Yeah,
and
she
hopes that in some time she could clean the reputation of this symbol, because it's a very important symbol that can unite a lot of people all over Eurasia.
Yeah. Does she have any comments to the headline there?
Yeah, they this story. So, in Mongolia, there is nationalist skinheads that use exactly the Hitler swastika. They got some strange movement. They are against Chinese. And they are beating girls who are wedding with Chinese people. So in December she was baptized, and maybe it's strange, maybe it somehow differs from many people, but she became Orthodox and she currently wears these two symbols. Two symbols that are very important for all the people over Eurasia and that can unite a whole lot of people. And despite it's strange, she decided to wear them both. And because they're very important.
Yeah, so let's get into what are Russia's, racial and ethnic demographics? Is immigration an issue? Is Islamic population an issue? What can you tell us?
So if you talk about Europe first, when you came to Europe, you can see migrants everywhere, and they're very different from the people in Europe. And they came there just to become parasites. So if you talk about Russia, it really differs, because it's mostly internal migration, and this person, who differs with you, if you look at his face, his grandfather could be sitting in trench with his grandfather, and they are helder of this Soviet gen, and in the park you could easily see some Kyrgyz people who look like Mongols, making shashlik near the Slavic people. And if you start to talk about their race, you could easily get beaten by with people who are against xenophobia. And even you will not be able to call the police, you will be beaten immediately.
Okay.
That differ from Europe, that people who came, migrants, they really understand that they will be responsible for their actions, and if they do something, they will be beaten, because there is sometimes fights, large fights, based on nationality or whatever, but Russians always respond when they are accused or when they are abused, and that's the main difference with Europe. It's very important to be strong and to show that you are strong.
Yeah, Agree.
Yeah, that. Of course.
As she told about herself, she is Buryat. She is from Buryatia, but she is like holder of Russian identity, of Russian culture, of Russian language, of everything, and that's very important. And the Russian is not the nationality. The Russian could be people, person of any nationality. We got international country, it could be said so, many national country.
Okay.
Which has happened over a long period of time, too. It's happened over hundreds of years, though, right?
Yeah, and oftenly she, because of her, like, look like, she, many times, told that she is Kyrgyz, and she is reacts bad onto that because that's sadly, but people of this nationality used to be cleaner. In Russia used to like hold the lowest positions, and it's sad because they're like also Soviet people. But it's true, and it's how it is.
Yeah.
Huh. First rule for migrants when they came, it's that they should act according to rules.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from European migrants. Because when people in Russia hear, like, not Russian language in street, they, like, become aggressive. It's basically like that. And if migrant acts not according to rules, he will, like, feel pity about that really soon. What's important that Russian is supranationality, and they should become Russians as soon as it's possible.
So it sounds a little bit like there's a little bit of everyone can become Russian, right? If they adapt to the culture and the language in a way. It's not very
racial or ethnic.
Yeah, it seems that it's more focused on the regions they clarified, or in this region they have this group of people, but there is a bigger identity which is Russian, and that's kind of a big tent. A lot of different people can fit into that. Do I understand that correctly?
So basically, it's about feeling yourself. And when you see people, you could easily like understand friend or foe he is. And the Russian identity is very like complex meaning. Has very complex meaning because it's very hard to like talk about what it really is. It can be talked in simple matters. It's really hard and complex thing. But you really easy understand friend or foe, Russian or not, the person is on the way how he is or her behave.
Okay, I see. What about the demographics? I feel that wasn't really answered. Is there a demographic problem? Low birth rates in Russia, and if so, are they looking at solving that with immigration, bringing other people into that to keep the population numbers up?
Yeah, so he came from far, but anyway. In Middle Russia, there is region, Razan region, and there is Kasimov district in it, and this district is fully, like, it's made by people from Middle East came there, and the Russian people, they digest all the nationalities, and this region was fully assimilated, and there is a lot of such regions that were digested and assimilated all over the Russia.
Okay.
There is, something happened recently that many Europeans want to live in Russia and want to move in Russia. It's called White Wave. For Europeans, there is a lot of regions like Pskov region, Novgorod region, Leningrad region that's historically connected with Europe, and they can move here. One of the Swedish guys, he was talking recently, wanted to move to the place where where Rurik was lived.
Yep.
And this thing should be supported and should be like, make it good, make it official, maybe make it good, because there is a lot of territories that could be inhabited by them
from
the European part of Russia.
Yeah, that would be amazing to have a movement of Europeans in some of those Russian pockets. Yeah, we knew about the Rurik dynasty and the Rus and the Vikings who founded Russia. Yeah. I don't know how Russians feel about that theory, but
the Volga trade routes, and they set up Kiev, right?
So, and no one should be worried that most race will become Asian. They have a low birth rate, but anyway, one shouldn't worry about them, because at some parts there will be Asian, at some parts there will be white people, but no one should care, because this is how it's solved.
Is it natural segregation, in a way?
And that's also in matters in terms of them, because they have not only the work union and not only like creative union, but also they choose each other to work together. They make each other stronger. So that's the point. So Igor looks like true European, and she is Asian.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see. So what do Russians think about the migrants coming into Europe from Africa and the Middle East? We were touching upon that. It's coming at such a rate where even London, you know, white English people have become a minority in Sweden. I mean, it's happening so rapidly, and the locals are talking about it's great that we might become a minority in our own countries. So what do you guys think about that?
Some way the migrants don't came to Russia, because they couldn't act themselves this way. In Russia, there is intolerance to Asian and black people, and the black people mostly like giving leaflets near the underground stations and selling fake perfume. And Caucasian people don't like black people a lot, and they have conflicts because of that. If to talk about Europe, the Europe can't stand this migrant way. Maybe some countries, maybe some local community, maybe some cities, maybe some local communities, but not the states itself. And Igor thinks that in 5 to 10 years, the wars, because of it, will start all over the Europe. Wars caused by migrants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would Russia ever allow itself to get to that position? I return to that issue of birth rates. I hear the birth rates are low in Russia. Would there ethnic makeup ever be threatened in a similar way as Europe is right now?
Like a replacement, you mean?
A population replacement, yes.
Oh, they already answered it. They say that you shouldn't care about the Asian or about the race matters, about the ethnic matters, because like they're assimilated, and in different regions there is different situation. So the race, the nationality, the nation identity would remain the same anyway all over the country. Because migrants are different, not only from Asia, not only from Africa, but also from Europe and inner migration in Russia also.
So basically it's a large landmass, and you kind of have different groups in different regions, and they kind of stick to their own people for the most part. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's how it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that we should ask you, too, about, you know, Daria, you interviewed me about the alt-right and Richard Spencer. Is there an equivalent of kind of an alt-right movement in Russia? I know you were kind of getting into the complexity of the Russian identity, so maybe the nationalism is a little different there. What can you tell us about nationalism in Russia? Is there an equivalent to the alt-right?
So, as he said before, in Russia, almost everyone on the terms of Europe could be called ultra-right. And currently European created this alt-right movement, but they're struggling for the things Russia already have. And because of that, in Russia, there is really low possibility of appearing of such movement, because they already have all of it, and that's how they behave themselves.
I see.
They would never. They wouldn't lose it. There's no threat of what they have being lost, is there?
In Russia, there is no threat to this thing, because there is clericalism getting in power. There is a right movement that getting in power, and the right not the movement, but the right like way of behavior in matters of Europe. Government itself controls all the parties, and so the politic is controllable and is good. He considers it's good. The fourth bloc only gets more power, and that's also good. There couldn't be no racism, because all of it is controlled also by government. So there are two main movements in Russia. One is Eurasian and second could be called racist. Anyway, so the second movement, they can be called so. They are pagans, they are like struggling for Russian nation domination, could be said so. They are like, they for creation of Russian regions among the Europe. They are...
No? Собственно, поэтому с национализмом у нас все хорошо.
Mm-hmm. So everything is good with nationalism in Russia.
All right.
As she said, she was very interested in alt-right movement in Europe, and many times she meets people who could be called Russian alt-right according to their views. She'd really like to for such kind of party to appear in Russia.
Okay.
She's like there is only author. Only one author that writes about that in Russia. And as Igor said, all the politics in Russia is controlled by government. So if there is no request from government of creating this alt-right, there would be no alt-right. There is some clubs, some companies that can be called Russian alt-right, but no like official way of doing it. And if it appears that this request came, there will be. Alt-right movement created. But basically in Russia, everything is good in terms of nationalism, so there is no even necessity of creation of such movement. If this organization will be created, it would be in as a bridge between Russia, Europe, and USA.
Yeah.
Right. That goes into our next question or next point we want to discuss a bit. Fourth political theory. Alexander Dugin, many in the American and European alt-right have heated discussions about this. Some are very supportive, some are more careful, they're more suspicious of it. Some see that this is a threat to a certain extent, that Russia is seeking alliance to the East as opposed to the West, right, with Europe. Some are concerned that that merger is not good in that sense. What can they say about Dugin and the fourth political theory and how it relates to the alt-right?
So there is a paradox in Russian Eurasian movement. Most of its leaders, of its ideologists have great European, have studied in European universities, and the Dugin himself could be called European philosopher because he operates the names, he operates the ideas that are European, totally. And almost all those people who are for white race, who are for this nationalistic, strong nationalistic movement, mostly they're Asian, and they're like, could be called angry provincial guys.
Do they see Russia as part of Europe or as Asia, or is it just something simply in between?
Both.
Is it both? How did they see it?
If you talk about Russia, there is totally European regions and totally Asian regions. There is regions like Petersburg, Novgorod. There are cities like Petersburg, Novgorod, Pskov that is European, totally European. There is cities like Kizil and Ulan-Ude that is totally Asian. There is European regions that helps European culture, and there is regions where they're exchanging the ships for the TVs, and that's how it was for 1,000 years. So even the grandmother of Daria, not long time ago, was like granted with this ship. Anyway, the main point is to preserve the identity of these regions, but in the big country.
Okay.
So, if you talk about fourth political theory, there is philosophy and there is real politics. And in Russia, everything is good in terms of that. Not long time ago, she was at some meeting where was a guy who was talking about that, and Russia shouldn't be scared of assimilation of, to be overtaken by China or Chinese people. Russia is part of Europe anyway. Yeah, so Russian have strong identity, and according to their force, it's not a threat at all.
Yeah, it is a federation, right? The Russian Federation, which implies a conglomerate different of many people. Different parts, so different people, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But the difference is you don't have diversity quotas like America. People can live with whoever they want to live with, and it's not considered racist.
Multiculturalism is that forced?
Yeah, it's not forced,
is that forced
by the state,
on you guys.
Like Europe, right?
Yes, not the world.
So the main point is to saving the culture, but giving the national identity more of them. And just as the example is the Ukraine, with we're living better in the when it was USSR.
Yeah, we did want to ask about the Russia-Ukraine relationship, actually. What, you didn't like that. Yeah, living better in the USSR, really?
Well, you know, yeah, they can answer it.
Yeah.
I think Ukraine is boring, but maybe Igor has something to say about it.
So it's very painful to talk about that, because it is civil war between one mutual nation or between very, very close nationalities. And Donbass is like hard things to talk, but both of them, it's very close thing for them. The Daria may in 2014 in Media Matter do very much of things for creation of Novorossiya in Media Matter, but not to talking about that and what it's personal choice. So since it's very painful, they really hope that it will end soon and that it will end with the victory of Donbass and victory. They get very good term for it, disease. Like for Igor, this theme is very, very long, chronic disease, this. And for Daria, it's short period when she was like sick with the helping. And with this war.
What do they think about the meddling in these affairs by European nations? We have NATO, we have a European leadership, not the European people, but a European leadership, which are meddling in Ukrainian affairs. They are putting their puppet, leaders in place. To me, it seems that there is a theory that it's called the Heartland Theory, where the Atlanticists, the US and UK, led coalitions are trying to destabilize Russia because they consider this to be a very important geographical location. It's by a theorist called Mackinder who wrote about this, John Mackinder. I don't know if they know anything about this, if they have any comments about European leaders trying to destabilize former Russian satellite states to turn them against Russia, like they did in the Ukraine, for example.
So, first thing you should understand if you want to live in peace is that you shouldn't accuse the nation. American, English, whoever. All of these wars, all of these things are done by transnational elites. There is such elites, even in Russia, but they're hardly restricted there. And if you want, like, Russia will cope with Ukraine and its issue, but all this, like meddling, all this stuff is done not by countries themselves, but by transnational elites. Yeah. For Germany, for Argentina, for France, she thinks that their own internal issues are more important for people there than the situation in Ukraine. Like it's mostly concerns Ukraine and Russia.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that if he doesn't have more to add. Let's get into Putin, right? Because he did throw out some of the oligarchs, Boris Berezovsky, these people after the Soviet Union collapsed, there was a rush to take over the formerly state-owned businesses, such as oil and gas and these things. Putin kicked these people out. A transnational clique of elites, are there fewer of them in Russia today? They all scoured from Russia.
The Putin is balancing between these transnational elites and the conservators and fourth bloc. It's very important to not to give a lot of power to one of these parts. As according to Igor's views, he thinks that it is very important to balance between that, because it could badly affect the country. There is some transnational elites and their representatives, even in Russian real politics, there is some politicians who are clear liberals and representatives of such elites. But the main point to understand, as he said before, is to find the balance, and it is how the system should work. So it could be said that Putin replaces the elites. There is arrest and resignation of different government persons, and she thinks that in 5 to 10 years the situation will change in these matters, because there is a replacement of these elites.
Do they think that Russia and Putin is hated because they don't play ball with this international elites? There's less influence there. We know that they have intervened in countries such as Syria, such as Iraq, countries that they don't have, central bank. They're not part of the same liberal global community. And it seems that Russian is on the brink of this. It could go either one way or the other. But is this why Russia is hated by the West today?
He's totally agree with the things you stated, but these elites in Russia are strengthened and their rights are restricted. But anyway, they are sitting in front of beautiful, good working iMac. And if the Russia won't cooperate with these elites, they won't be able to sit in front of good computer, because Russia, yes, sadly can't produce such things. And it's the matter of talks, a matter of discussion, a matter of agreement.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we use Facebook, Google, and other stuff anyway. And what about Russia and Putin don't play any ball and don't play in the same game as all other world? It's really true, and when Putin and Russia overtook Crimea, they understand that it's so. And it's what the Russians are proud of, because we are not playing the same game. We are playing with our own rules, and we are unpredictable. And it's something that allows us to be proud of Russia and be proud of Putin.
Just going back to Ukraine real quick before one more question about Putin. Ukrainians, Russians, I mean, they're brothers, right? They're brothers and they're sisters. They're pretty much the same people. Do you guys feel that way about Ukrainians?
In terms of his personal relations, the only his connection to Ukraine is it's his son from the first marriage. He is from half of his roots is from Poltava. If you talk about matters of Ukrainians, there is three different nationalities in Ukraine. He means Ukrainian nationalities, and besides, Russians, surely. And anyway, the connections between countries, between nations, are very strong and can be abandoned, can be cut off. But as for him, he is northern person. He is more Asian than country. So as for him personally, he don't connected to Ukrainians anyway. But he thinks that there should be peace, but the peace should be through the victory.
Yeah, because I've heard from a lot of Ukrainians who don't want war with Russia, and they view them as their extended family, that they want to have unity there. So, but like we said, it's elites meddling, so it's not really what the people want, is it?
Daria herself also don't, even if Yuda or Igor don't have connection to Ukraine, and Daria also don't have, but anyway, there should be peace between nations, and it should be so. So, if to extend about three Ukrainian nationalities that Igor means, first nationality is Soviet Ukrainians with Soviet identity. It's one of them. Second one was formed after the Maidan, and they are mostly hate all the Soviet issues about that, how it is. And the third one is ethnical Ukrainians, one that live in Lviv and the region around it and stuff. They just don't want to associate themselves with some war. They just want to live in their land and plan something and wear these vyshivankas, ornamental sheets, and doesn't care about anything. And so in Russia, some people, some nation, in Russia there is not a lot of nations who identify themselves as Russian. Many of them like really connected to Ukrainians in terms of identity, in terms of relations, in terms of like mutual bonds. And many of them has just nothing to do with Ukraine because they didn't connect it in any way.
Okay, well, we have two last questions for you. So it's hard for foreigners to understand Russian mentality. So who is Putin? How should we think of Putin in the West?
First thing Russia wants from national leader is to struggle for the national interests. And Igor hopes that America and Europe will have the leaders that would struggle for their national interests. And if you talk about Putin and that he is scared of, like that people in West are scared of him, it's like not problem of Russian nation. He was born and he like was raised in St. Petersburg in Leningrad region, and there is like not poor but way of lifestyle it said that you should hit first, and that's the way. You should hit first and you should struggle for nation interest, and that's the way.
Okay.
In European and American liberals are scared of Putin, but alternative rights, like, they envy that Russia have such leader of like Putin. They want to have the same leader as Putin, and she hopes that this kind of person will become the example for West to as a leader, and that they will have the same kind of leaders as Putin is. And if you talk about Russia, they don't feel that Putin is enough Putin. They want him to be more kind of Putin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. One of the last questions I have, or last points, is Igor mentioned earlier he believes that there's going to be war in Europe, and I share that sentiment. I think that there will be tremendous problems in the future, mostly due to immigration, but also other internal issues and conflicts. But this in itself could mean potentially that the antagonism of European countries and the West towards Russia might diminish because we will have so many problems ourselves to deal with that we're not going to be able to, you know, play an international game. We have to just do everything we can to take care of our own problems internally. But does any of them have any, I don't know, anything they want the European or American audience to know? Do they have any, I don't know, recommendations for them or suggestions? If we're looking at a future with war, it's not very promising for our nations. What do they think we should know? How their situation compared to ours, I mean?
First thing to understand is you don't know about America, but in Europe there will be war. And you shouldn't believe leaders who say that everything will be good. You should be prepared, you should arm yourself. It's the main point. You should create the small, maybe small communities to prepare to it, but you should understand that first thing you need is to arm yourself. In Russia, there is a proverb, who chooses between shame and fight, and choose shame, will receive both shame and fight.
That's correct.
And mm-hmm. That's the way of it. You should arm yourself.
That's good tip. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, thank you. This was great.
Vashoy,
yeah, thank
Igor,
you.
Igor, Daria, thank you. And then Roman, of course, doing all the translations. Yeah. It's been really good to connect with people in Russia, so we really appreciate
it.
All right, so let's have some post-show discussion, Lana, because one of the things I've noticed is, of course, that it's very difficult to get some Russians to kind of be really clear. You know, I've listened to some talks by Putin, and yes, he's a politician, but you know, they kind of snake them their way out of certain kind of things. I don't know if it's the Russian mentality or if that's something that's just kind of maybe a tradition, kind of how they are as people. I'm not sure. But, you know, there are some things where we would disagree on, obviously, here, too. I think it was a pretty interesting hearing from them, though, but it's clear that they are not as, maybe not obsessed, but they're not as concerned with the ethnic question that we are.
Yeah.
And maybe they even think that we are a little bit over the top on it. But my point is, it's kind of like you don't know what you got right until it's lost.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's why we're concerned with it, and they might not be so much.
Yeah, they're not dealing with basically forced population replacement. It's, like we said, it's a large land mass, lots of different groups of people there. It's been there over a period of 1,000 years, but they've kind of separated into different territories, and they pretty much are left alone. The government isn't enforcing compulsory diversity like they are in the West. So, of course, they're coming from a different mentality. But if the government was, I'm sure they would be speaking more like we do, as they said. But they definitely understand where we're coming from and the alt-right and sympathize for that.
Well, we bring it up, obviously, because this is a threat to us as a people, that we are concerned with this. So, I mean, who wouldn't be? Anyone would be. And that's why we keep bringing it up, because we're losing that, right? So they seem to have less emphasis on this, since it's not an issue for them at this stage. And, well, although I think you didn't really answer my question when it comes to the demographics. I've heard that the demographics are very bad in Russia, and that, you know, there's high abortion rates.
Amongst the whites, specifically.
Yes, exactly. And there's a lot of Muslims, apparently, coming into Russia. Or there is a substantial Muslim population in Russia, too. You know, we know about the Chechen situation, and there's been conflict there. But I think this might be another issue for Russia in future years.
Yeah.
When I listen to talks again with Putin, he addresses the Russian Federation as a multicultural state.
And he's very proud
right?
of it.
Yeah.
He talks about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are many ethnic groups living in Russia. That's just how it is, right?
Yeah,
it's the biggest country in the world. It's the biggest
land mass.
Right?
Although when you travel through Western Russia, the European side of Russia, as they say, when I was there, it was all white people. I didn't see any Muslims. I didn't see any Asians. It was just all white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they have these republics, or like oblasts, or whatever they call them, right? They kind of, some of them are even autonomous, like the Karelia Peninsula or region that borders to Finland, for example. So it's kind of interesting. So when we say Russia, I don't know if you agree with this, Lana, but when we say Russia, I think of, you know, the ethnic group, the European
white
people,
Russians,
the Slav,
yeah.
Baltic slash Scandinavian founding stock, the Rus people, right,
of
that
course,
formed the
yeah.
nation. But they seem to be talking about the federal state
but
almost
that,
to
and
a certain extent.
That's newer. You know, our listeners know I'm Russian. All my grandparents only spoke Russian to me growing up. So when I think of Mother Russia, I actually like to think of Tsarist Russia. You know, I think of a time of high culture, of Russia's pinnacle. Russians in that time period, they even had a specific beautiful look with the high cheekbones and the almond eyes and the round faces. There's an ethnic look to it. I think of fur coats and ballets and classical music and all the literature and those wooden churches with the onion domes, you know. They were more unified with Europe in that time. They even had the Russian circus, which was amazing, and it was white. And, of course, those people come from the Rus, from the Vikings. That's what I think of when I say Russians, and that's the Russia that was before, you know, the time of Bolsheviks and communists. To me, that is Russia, white Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I know this is they're more ambiguous on certain issues. Maybe there is a complacency by the people that has been a side effect of a lot of people fleeing and also being murdered after the Soviet regime, the
yeah.
communist regime. I don't know, but it feels like there's a... He said it a couple of times in interviews, like, well, if this was an issue, you know, the government would have done that, and that would have been so. You know, make it so that they would have taken care of it and made it happen. So it's a little bit of a different attitude for sure. But I don't know. It feels that they don't share all of our concerns, I think, in many regards.
They're sympathetic, of course, because
yeah,
Daria,
yeah.
she reached out to me to get thoughts on the alt-right, and she definitely understands our situation, what Europeans are facing in the West. But they just have different dynamics happening there. As I said, most people are already thinking in alt-right terms. And she, being Asian, I don't know, she's unique. I don't think maybe you'd find many like her in Russia. And she's the only one who is actually writing on kind of bringing alt-right into Russia, which I thought was quite interesting. You know, she actually defends white people, which is cool.
Yeah, and again, then obviously she would have a different take on this Eurasian, you know, question as well, which I'm... I'm against that. I just don't want to see
Yeah,
that.
We're not
I mean,
talking
like,
about we want Russians to blend with Asians. This is
no.
real clear with that. We're not talking about some Eurasian race that we're pushing here. Absolutely not. I mean, cooperation is one thing, but
yeah, even
we're not
if,
talking
even
about
if, you know,
blending people out here.
Even if Russia happened to be in that situation, that's for them to kind of sort out. But again, that's the problem, of course, when you release borders, when you remove those small boundaries that already exist. But if it's true what Igor said, then there seems to be that these republics are kind of like, they're already their own little pockets.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, you can have a federalized, you know, governing ship, I guess, to a certain extent. I'm against centralized government, no matter in what form, one way or another, to be honest. But I just think it just erodes these things. The more border that you have, the safer the ethnic makeup are going to be of those people, obviously.
And it's
but,
also
but
interesting.
It's okay with cooperation. That's
yeah,
fine.
And it's interesting. I was always around the borders, as you see, around Asia and Russia or whatever different borders there are. There's always a commingling. There's mm-hmm. a mixing of people that are near those borders, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you get almost like in Kazakhstan, you get like a, almost a Afghani, Russian, Asian blend,
yeah.
you know, very interesting. And, of course, Mongolia, the further east you go, you get an Asian blend. So, yes, of course, there is some cross-pollination at certain border regions. And this has been true ever since mankind has been around.
But it's not the majority
around.
Doing it.
But, again, exactly. And we're also back to this idea that we should maintain the ethnic groups that we have for the sake of diversity. We can't just open the borders and let all these people just, you know, blend together and think that's somehow this is going to take care of the situation. I think it's like an onion. I think the identity, the more layers you have to it, the more protective that inner core is going to be. You have multiple walls in a defense system. You have like an outer perimeter. Then there's might be a moot or moat, what is it called, outside of that with water in it. You know, then you have inner walls. You have a house with walls inside of that. You know, you have layers like that.
Yeah.
And the more of those boundaries or borders or walls, separative, you know, territorial borders, you remove, the more vulnerable we're going to be with the little identity that we do have left. So I think it's vital that we maintain that and we let that flourish and we encourage that. You know?
And what's interesting about Russians and Eastern Europeans or in Ukraine, they really mention where they're from, what area specifically, because you'll find that certain groups of people have stayed in that specific area for a long time and it's remained that way. So they actually have kind of a little level of tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
I know Russia has a complex past with migration and invasions and stuff, but it's a large landmass where mostly white people live, and I hope that they are still the majority. I hope it remains that way.
A lot of pagan groups in Russia, too. A lot of new neo-pagan folk groups that are popping up and everything else. That's just pretty interesting. Something, again, to kind of to ensure that another layer of identity exists between them and the world, basically. But, yeah, I mean, otherwise, what else could we say about the interview overall? I think some things are lost in translation. There were some things that I wished maybe they would have explained a bit more, but I don't know if it was lost by the translator or vice versa. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's different. You're dealing with various barriers there, but this is good. At least we reached out and we were able to discuss these things with some Russians,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some Russians will see this interview and know that we're here.
Yeah, spread the link in Russia. We're interested. We're concerned with what's happening there as well, of course, obviously, as in all countries. So, yeah, good stuff. Thank you for watching, ladies and gentlemen. Really appreciate it. RedIceMembers.com. Go there, sign up for a membership so you can support what we do so we can continue to bring you shows such as these and much more. We're going to be back in just a couple of days. And until then, we say thank you for listening.